From the place that put man bun and stouts together in American lexicon, we once again bring you an episode of the Stoutcast podcast from Tower Brewing in downtown Sacramento. Well, near enough to downtown Sacramento as anybody would know who's not here. We're actually, if you're from the area, we're out on Folsom Boulevard. And we have some people who, you don't look anything like the guy that I talked to before.
Probably not, no.
Neither do you.
No.
And that's because they're not the same guy. So please meet Ian Churchill, who is the head brewer, and Peter Wisham, who is the assistant head brewer. As we go through a flight of, it looks like, 7. So in small doses. So first off, people have changed. People have moved. You've been here for quite a while, Peter. And Ian, you just got here. So how did you get here? And just tell us a little bit about what we're looking at as far as the stouts today.
Yeah, so I've been here for about 5 months. I moved from Tallgrass Tap House in Manhattan, Kansas, about 5 months ago, so a little bit of a travel. Not really sure how I ended up here, but I'm here in beautiful Sacramento. We have two of our stouts here today. We have Lost Souls, which is a 5.5% coffee oatmeal stout, which is a collaboration with Old Soul Coffee. Here in town, one of my favorite stouts. Not a huge stout drinker, but I will drink that one a lot. And then we have Not That Innocent, which is a 9.8% imperial stout, which is a great one. Little thing with Britney Spears there.
Great. I've always hoped that somehow we could get Britney Spears tied into the podcast, and now we can. Insert music here. If you've listened to the episodes, then you know that whenever possible, we put whatever music we can find from whoever happens to come up, because it ends up being a pop culture reference thing in addition to a beer thing. And so, yeah, so far, nobody has like written to tell us to take it down or that we owe the money. So let's hope we can keep that record going. And you, sir, you've been around town and you've been here for quite a bit.
I've been here for a little over eight years. I'm actually employee 1B, only because the guy that I was hired with at the same time, his last name came before mine, so he got 1A. But I've been here since the inception and during the build-out and ever since.
Fantastic. All right, so we're going to start with yours, and that is the Lost Souls. It is a black can, and the lettering on it is a brown oatmeal mocha stout. On the back side is a apparition cloaked figure in purple with the fiery backgrounds and a river of something probably unpleasant with a, what is that thing? The brown, is that a pitch? What would we say that is? It's like a, is it a paddle?
Like an old school kind of mash paddle?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a mash paddle. Oh, that would totally make sense. Yes. All right, because I was going to say, as far as making a boat go anywhere, it has a bunch of holes in it, and that would be unfortunate. Do we know who did the can art?
Killian? I forget his last name, but... McMahon? Killian McMahon. He does majority of our can art. He does a great job on all of it.
Fantastic. Well, we approve. We try to give a shout-out whenever we can to the can artists. And here we go. So, what was the purpose behind this?
It was a collab with Old Soul. We've done several things with Old Soul in the past, and so it's just another in the collection that we have that we've done with them. Big supporters of them, and they're big supporters of us.
Well, you certainly get the coffee right off the get-go.
Yeah, definitely hit me on the coffee.
We try to like identify what's in it, and then we try to identify what we're expecting, and then gauge whether or not there is a level of success with that endeavor.
Yeah, so it's made with some Brazilian coffee from Old Soul Coffee Company here in town. It's also got roasted cacao nibs and vanilla in it as well.
So are we getting the vanilla or are we getting the cacao nibs?
Definitely get the coffee. I'm picking a little bit of the cacao nibs. Sometimes you can kind of get lost in the coffee and in the roast of the malt. I don't know if I'm picking up that much vanilla.
I get a little bit of vanilla on the nose, but I don't get any of the vanilla kind of gets hidden in there a little bit.
Yeah, but that would that help with the sweetness at the end? Because there's like virtually zero aftertaste. Or bitterness at the end.
The vanilla?
Uh-huh.
That would be, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps a little bit with the kind of die off of the flavors at the end there. And it helps out kind of even it out. Because I know with a lot of coffee stouts, you kind of get that bold coffee flavor that gets stuck in your mouth. With this one, it kind of just, it fizzles out at the end and kind of makes you want to go back for a second round.
Yeah, no, I like it, and I like that it's super cold, which is generally how I like my stouts. I know there's generally sometimes there's a temperature gauge on the can, so this should be served at blah, and you're like, okay, that's a next level of beer snobbery that I do not have. I do not have my temperature set on the fridge to whatever. I'm lucky if it's cold, then I forget to turn it back on after I've recorded audio in the man cave, and I've turned the fridge off. So that's kind of like just number four. It's a good. The beers brought here were at right about a number four, just so you know. Okay. All right. I really like at the beginning. The coffee's a little much. I like coffee smell. I don't like coffee. Like a lot of coffee taste. So it's kind of heavy on the coffee, but it delivers exactly what you're promising. And then I love the aftertaste in that there really isn't any. So I would absolutely go. Oh, the rating system. Excellent. Very good. Good, fair, poor, cat. You don't want to be anywhere near cat. Cat's bad. I think just and this is just personal preference, the amount of coffee there kind of overwhelms it and makes it a little out of whack for me, but I still really like it and I would definitely have more. So I would go with very good. So since you guys didn't make it, you can feel free to grade the beer as well, or you can pass. It's up to you.
I think personally this one's a very good, very good beer, in my opinion. This one, I'm not much of a stout drinker on really hot days and everything, but once it gets cooled down, at the end of the night, kind of, I like to have one, and that's my go-to, honestly.
Me, on the other hand, I am a huge coffee drinker, and I'm a huge stout drinker. Stouts and porters are my thing, so I'm a malt guy. I would put this between very good and excellent. I do hear very often that sometimes it is too much coffee for some people, but for me, it's okay. I like that big coffee punch.
If you like coffee, but then you don't like to have it hang around, this is really good. So you said very good to excellent.
Yeah.
Just the finish, how it starts, it's multi-layered. Even though it's a little much in the middle, it still delivers exactly what it's from. I'd bump mine up to very good to excellent. I think that's absolutely fair.
Well, I'll go with that as well. We're all on the same page.
Yep. I'm sorry, it's an exclusive club, and you're no longer invited.
Yeah. I think the thing that would put it over the top and make it fully excellent for me is just a little bit more chocolate flavor.
Yeah, I think so. All right. All right, well, good. Well, obviously, Peter's sensibilities are obviously amazing. Because he agrees with me, and so that's awesome. Now, this next one, I have no promises to give you. It is a golden stout. Please share your thoughts on golden stouts. Is this actually a thing, or is it a concocted thing? What? Your thoughts?
I think it's 100% concocted thing. People have been doing it for a while now. I kind of like them. But then I kind of hate them at the same time.
Well, that's a glowing recommendation if there ever was one.
A lot of people have kind of gone into that path of doing it, and a lot of people failed at doing it as well. So the people who kind of stuck around and still do it, I think, can have a great concoction in some sense. So I'm actually excited to try this one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's difficult to do.
Very.
And do well.
I'm glad you're excited. Because I'm really not. I think I've had one that was like, hey, that's pretty good. But still, it's just that just not, it's just the thing that I'm looking for is not there. But
is it the visual that you're missing out on?
No, the visual's fine. I mean, I'm going to move the electrical cord away from the water pitcher just because, you know, my aim might not be so good. Instead, I will pour beer on the electrical outlet. There we go. Wow, yeah, I've got to say right off the get-go, the visual, once you said it, it's kind of orange coming out. Which reminds me of something else. Yeah. All right.
That's where a lot of people, they get kind of tripped up on the color. That back then it's not, you know, dark beer.
Yeah. It's this is probably the orangiest, and yes, that's a word because I just made it up. Usually they're lighter than this, but it's all right. So let's a little bit about the can. It is, well, the color matches pretty much the can. So it's yellow, kind of a golden yellow. Golden Daydreams, which is in a wonky, I just dropped a tab font. Not sure what the technical name for that is, but, and then there's a something in is that an underwater helmet or an astronaut's helmet? I think that's a...
I think it's like a diver.
Is it a diver's helmet? It might be. I don't know. It's a space helmet. It's some sort of helmet. And then there's liquid and maybe candy bars and nuts that then goes to a bottle. And I guess that's all coming out of the bottle. And then, okay. That's Burning Barrel Brewing Company. Golden Daydreams, 7% alcohol by volume. Golden Daydreams resembles a creamy latte poured into a chocolate syrup-lined glass. Flavors of sweet milk chocolate, fresh French press coffee, and a frothy, creamy head create the ideal breakfast for dessert beer. Shake can before serving. Okay. Have you ever read the directions on the beer before you opened it, or did you just open it? I mean, I'm like, now I've got to go, okay, hey, I'm sorry, guys, I didn't shake the can.
I don't think I've ever read the instructions, because I don't think I've ever seen
I don't think beer should be shaken before.
Yeah.
I think you can kind of tell if you look it up, if you hold it up, you can see all the particles that are floating in here as well, which might be tend to why it would need to be shaken a little bit before.
Well, would that make more particles?
It would, but it's kind of...
Let me shake it now.
Disconcerting looking.
All right, here we go. And then I'll pour some more into yours, and then we'll see if there's even more... stuff. This is
that's a little more.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right. So, do we know what's in it? Yeah, we know what's in it. Rancho Cordova, California. They're right up the street. How about that? All right. And so, I guess what is the best you could hope for? For a golden stout.
For me, that it would taste like a stout.
Yes.
Even though it's orange. It would have all the stout characteristics of your roasted malts, maybe some coffee or some chocolate notes with it.
Has that ever happened?
Yes, I have. We've done some golden stouts here that turned out pretty fantastic, and it had all those notes, and it really trips people out when they get a light beer and it tastes like a stout. This one, to me, is not as stouty as I would like.
I mean, it hits the hits nail right on the head there with the milk on there, though. It's definitely really milky.
Very.
I don't get much stoutness to it, though.
No, there's not much roast at all.
No, not much roast at all. It's kind of... I mean, I would say it's a golden beer with a bunch of lactose in it.
And the imitation roast usually comes from what? What is done to make the imitation roast? So you think it's roasty, but it's really not. What's the general operating procedure to try to make something that tastes roasty when it's not? What do you put in the beer?
Honestly, that's really hard to do, to get it like this color without using any, you know, really roasty high SRM malts in there, which I think that's kind of one of the main reasons that Golden Stouts kind of flopped, is it's really hard to get that roasty great malt flavor that goes into stouts without actually having the roasted malts.
I really like it. It tastes nothing like a stout, but I really like it. It's very sweet, which counters my acerbic personality really well. I think there's supposed to be chocolate in here, and I'm getting, am I right?
I get a little bit of chocolate.
Sweet milk chocolate.
Sweet milk chocolate, yeah.
A little bit of coffee. The coffee, that's what they, a lot of brewers use is a lot of coffee in order to make that bitterness.
Yeah.
You can use like a really light roast on there as well.
Yeah, not too much. Yeah, I really like it. Is it a stout? No, I don't think so. But would I absolutely have it again? Yeah, it's, And then here's the moral quandary of the judging is what is it? How much do I like it? And
do we judge it based on being a stout, or do we judge it on how we like it?
Kind of have to judge it on being a stout, and then that's where you get the Bob Moffat. Well, it was good for being a stout, I guess, which is to say it didn't really meet the bar, but it was excellent in the flavors. So I may go with a good/excellent because, well, I'm the guy with the soundboard, so I get to do those. I get to make those exciting decisions. What do you guys think?
I'm gonna go with the flat across the line good.
Yeah?
I don't think it really meets the stout category, but I would definitely drink it again.
I as well, I think, would have to go with a good. I'm actually also a BJCP judge. So, calling this a golden stout it's not a stout. It doesn't have the characteristics that I would look for if I was judging it as a stout. But like you said, it is a good beer. I want some more roast to it, maybe a little bit more chocolate to it to help it boost into the stout-like category. But it's a good beer.
Is there any talk of making the Golden Stout its own category?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think.
Should there be?
I don't think enough brewers are making it to be able to hold that category.
Fair enough. Okay.
So it'd probably have to go into the specialty category if it was going to be judged.
Well, it far exceeded my expectations. It didn't have that yucky imitation flavored imitation stout trying to and the burnt coffee thing. I really actually appreciate that they just went with like taste instead of with trying to make something else, but then again, did they make it?
All right. Really like the label on that one.
This one, yeah,
it's like a motor oil 10W40.
That's the idea. It's the Orchata 10W40 imperial stout brewed with vanilla, almond, cinnamon, lactose, and chocolate from High Wire Brewing, which is in Asheville, North Carolina, which confuses me because I thought it was somewhere else, but apparently it's not. Three Ring Brewing Company, LLC, Asheville, North Carolina. Isn't High Wire somewhere around here?
That would be High Water.
Oh.
The High Water's out in...
yeah, Lodi. Okay. Sorry. All right.
We actually just did a collaboration with High Water.
Really?
Shout out to Steve.
Over nice.
There. It was sour, but...
Okay. So the can is starts off with a white on top and then gradually melds into a gold on the bottom. And it just says Orchata 10W40 on the front. And then it's 8% by volume. And it says what it has in it. This is definitely a stout. I'm a big believer in high pours. Your thoughts? Your thoughts on the high pour?
I don't mind it. It gets good. I don't mind it.
It seems to let everything kind of like come out and breathe and move around. And
yeah, let's just open up some. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what he said. Yeah, I'll just erase that previous part and I'll just put what you put in there. Yeah, that's some kind of head right there. Usually it takes a while to come down, but that's something.
Yeah, it's nice and thick head. It's got a mixture of foam and bubbles, which is something you're looking for when you're judging, especially a stout. It's got a nice tan-colored head on it.
I mean, I'm really looking, hoping for some good horchata flavor in here. Love good horchata, so.
Forgive me, just in case there might be somebody out there who doesn't know what horchata is. Horchata is?
It's a Mexican kind of cinnamony rice milk drink.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. That was
kind of tastes like a good liquid churro. It's really good.
That's solid. Yeah. Well, definitely smells sweet.
Yeah, I'm picking up the sweetness. I'm also picking up some of the spices on the nose as well.
So the ingredients, what they're promising here, would any of these be at risk of like aging particularly poorly?
I mean, the vanilla and the lactose, I would say, are pretty. Lactose definitely might age a little bit poorly, depending on how much you used in there. Lactose is a fun one to play with, but given time, it might cause a little bit of off flavors in the end. Which I think they did a really great job on this one, keeping it lactose to get it sweet and kind of creamy-ish in there. And I definitely get the nutty flavor with a little bit of cinnamon on the back end.
Yeah, because there's supposed to be almonds in it, right?
Yes. It's vanilla, almond, cinnamon, lactose, and chocolate.
It is definitely an interesting combination, which I cannot remember having previously. I think maybe because of the almonds. I don't remember a lot of brewers using almonds for anything. In fact, I can't think of another one. Can you?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
So sort of a nutty chocolate, almost like a not a hot chocolate, but kind of in that realm.
Yeah, kind of leaning towards that, yeah.
So the last episode we did with we pulled out a High Wire, and the Bob Moffitt beer fridge overfloweth with beer from COVID. When I just went to places where I go, which are usually Cordy Brothers or the New Earth Market in Yuba City, which has a great selection of different beers, and then Total Wine or BevMo. But usually those first two.
Cordy Brothers has a great selection. I was just there right before this, grabbing a sandwich, looking at some of their beers.
So this was brewed a year and a half ago. And I think it's held up really well.
Yeah.
The last one we tried did not hold up. I don't know if it wasn't. Then that's the thing. It's like, okay, how fair can we be to a brewer how long do you expect a stout to last? I expect it to last.
Stouts generally can last, and they will usually age very nicely.
But it had like some different components. Like this one has almonds in it, and I'm trying to remember what the component was in there, but it was like a fruit, I think, and like that seemed like maybe that had maybe turned a little bit, but I don't know. What do you think? So, Ian, how about you start the grading on this one?
I think it's very good, in my opinion. I would have never guessed it was a year and a half ago on how it has held up, and I take back my lactose statement. It held up just fine in there, and I think it's a very good beer.
I would have to say very good as well. I think it hits the mark that they say as far as flavors that it is included. definitely getting some almond, getting some of the spices. It's nice and creamy. I think it is well done.
I think as well they're hitting the mark. As far as the flavor goes, I don't, and I wonder how I would think about it if I didn't know there were almonds in it, because I don't like almonds. So the finicky Bob Moffitt palate is known to the Stoutcast listeners worldwide, and all of the things I don't like. But given that, I'd have to go good to very good. Very good because they absolutely deliver what they promise, I think. Good to very good just based on the taste and my enjoyment of it. But would I have another one? Absolutely. All right. So far, pretty decent flight.
Yeah.
I mean, it started off with, I think the best one was at the beginning, but, you know, I mean, that's, you know, that's what happens. All right. So the next one is another coffee stout. And I'll let you rinse and pour. And this is Perennial Artisan Ales Imperial Stout with Dark Matter Coffee. Ooh, dark matter. Isn't that like from space? Isn't that where dark matter lives? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the can art is a sort of nondescript, like maybe sunset pinkish, kind of rose-ish thing with like a cityscape maybe. Is that a train maybe? This band of lights on
yeah,
the bottom.
Looks like a train.
Could be a train. It's blurry, whatever it is. And it sort of also looks like a movie theater almost kind of. Blended two beans roasted by our friends at Dark Matter, El Salvador beans and Guatemalan beans. So there you go. The beans, just in case you know, what's your knowledge on a coffee bean?
Very little.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
Okay, well, just so you know, just so you can tell your friends, one of these beans, the Santa Patrona beans, were washed.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Beans are clean, I guess.
Yes. The other ones were not. The other ones were fermented with Bavarian wheat yeast. And I think we all know what that means. Exactly.
It's
yes.
Going to be weedy.
All right. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well.
It's a splasher.
Yes. All right. We have a cleanup on aisle 4.
Cleanup on aisle Bob.
Yes. All right. Yes, that's good. Let's pour it over the electrical equipment. There you go. All right. I thank you. And, all right. Well, it's what does that tell us when we open up the can and beer explodes everywhere? Is that a good sign?
It's either overfilled or there's something wrong with it.
Okay. Let's hope it's overfilled. And now,
good to be optimistic.
The delicate sound of someone wiping beer off of the microphone koozie. That's high quality audio right there, kids. All right. So, what do we know about this? Do we know anything? It has two kinds of beans, and that's it. So we are expecting coffee and not much else. And then
it's dark.
I can check. It is very. So
and the head is very dark.
All right, 11.5% alcohol by volume. It's a double coffee, so we're going to have twice the coffee of what we can expect. Now this is according to Untappd. I believe an effort to find the website was fruitless, and so we know next to nothing about it, which is always helpful. Your thoughts about letting people know what's going to be in the beer that they're about to drink. Are you a fan, or would you rather just surprise them?
I think it depends on the beer sometimes. I think generally people like to know what's in the beer, although it also depends on, you know, say if you're like a hophead, then you're going to want to know what hops are in it. And if you're a malt head, then you're going to want to know what malts are in it. But, you know, I think it's kind of 50-50. You know, it just depends on how much of a beer snob you are.
Well, I would just like to congratulate you both on not using the words mouthfeel so far. So right now your beer snobbery level is like really low, and I really appreciate that. So yeah, we try not to be... we try not to be too snobbery, huh?
I'm looking forward to the mouthfeel on this now.
Yeah, there you go.
What you mentioned.
Yeah, I believe the previous title of the previous time we were here was something along the lines of man buns and mouthfeel trolls, I believe, because the two gentlemen here before took particular delight in throwing it into any conversation, whether it had to do with beer or flowers. They're like, yeah, the mouthfeel on those carnations was exceptional.
Yeah, I did take a listen to that that episode, and they did kick in the mouthfeel quite often.
Yes, they did. All right, perennial. All right, double. I'm just going to see if we can find perennial ales and see if we can find anything about the... beer, because an earlier effort did not lend itself to that. About perennial, yes, I'm 21. There we go. And, oh, they're in St. Louis, Missouri. We know more than we did. Our beers. Oh, they do Abraxas. Interesting. Yeah, nothing on the website. All right, super helpful. All right, so, Peter, what do you think? What are you expecting from something that's proposing to be an Imperial Stout with dark matter coffee? And what are you getting out of it?
Definitely getting a lot of coffee, but the coffee's not too astringent. It's not overwhelming. Definitely there. It's in your face, but it's not like a punch in the throat. I like it. The mouthfeel is...
Stop it.
I would give it a very good stout rating. As a judge, it's got a nice head to it. Nice dark tan head. Flavor, a lot of coffee. Could possibly use a little bit more roast flavor, a little bit more malt flavor. But other than that, it hits what we know that they say it hits.
There's some sugar in this. I mean, there's some sweetness. Is it... Any guesses? As to what, I mean, it has that just that kind of syrupy maple kind of.
I would assume they probably threw in some lactose to boost up the ABV. That's where you're getting some of your sweetness from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost get like a little bit of like brown sugar, molasses, or some kind of. Well, molasses is kind of bitter, but some kind of. Sweetened component to because it, I mean, the taste is great. I don't really get any coffee though until the end, until the aftertaste, which is kind of weird. I really like it. I think it's great. Does it deliver coffee? Maybe not so much, but the rest of it's fantastic. It's balanced, it's sweet, which I like. It's kind of borderline dessert. Yeah, that would I'd have another of these in a heartbeat. I'd just for enjoyment, taste, I would go excellent.
I think it's kind of sneaky as well. For at 11%, you're not getting that fusel alcohol taste that you get in a lot of higher ABV beers.
Any guesses on great. How old this beer is?
I'm gonna guess April 20th, 2020.
It was very close. Best Buy, 7/12/20.
There you go. But the
alcohol... I think it held up really well.
I think it held up. So, grade?
I'd go, not my personal favorite on my cup of tea, but grading it not on personal bias, I would say it's very good.
And non-personal bias, you would
on
say?
Personal bias, I would say good.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean, that's no, fair is a totally different grade. But no, I mean, that's good, very good is your personal, but then they mean it. So yeah, I think, yeah. And you?
I think they kind of hit the
I think I have to
mark on it.
The same, good to very good. I would like a little bit more malty roastiness to it, besides just the coffee. And the sweetness is there. It's almost overpowering to me. Almost a little bit too much, but I think if there was a little bit more malty roastness, then that would help balance out the sugar.
Fair enough. Yeah, I like sweet. I like sweet. I like dessert stouts. I'm all in. I have no problem with it being too sweet. That's not a. I don't think too sweet has necessarily ever come out of my mouth. And then this. So we kind of went out of order a little bit, but not that far out of order that our mouths are going to be on fire by the time we double back to this one. So this is, you said 10 and a half?
9.8.
You did not say 10 and a half. It was nowhere near 10. I don't know why I said that. It's just made up stuff. Fake news. All right. 9.8, and this is the...
Imperial Stout. Peter needs some over there. This is Peter's kind of go-to drink at the end of the day.
Yes, this is
definitely a big fan of this beer.
Yeah.
So, what was the design behind it, and did we nail it?
I think the design was just a nice, higher gravity stout that isn't a gimmick. Pretty much just straight across the board, but a stout should be. Good for you?
It's not smooth. It's really smooth. No. Just went down the wrong pipe. Sorry about that. Please keep going.
Like Ian said, this is my go-to of all the beers that we have on tap. This is what I go for when I have my first beer after my shift, or my first beer during the day.
And I think it's a
really nice. It's smooth, nice and cold, good head to it, dark, sweet, kind of right there, good for every stout drinker, imperial stout.
So if you just had the, and this is where I'm kind of regretting going out of order by accident. Apparently I missed the giant pitcher of beer in the middle of all the other cans. Somehow I just blew right by that. Because I'm not paid to be observant anymore. So as sweet as the previous one, would that make this one taste maybe unnecessarily or unfairly bitter?
What? If this was as sweet as the last one?
No. The last one we had, I thought, was super sweet. You said it might be too sweet. Would that make this taste more bitter now, following up?
Oh.
Is it just more bitter? Or as the kids say, bitterer.
It is definitely bitterer than the last beer, only because the last one was fairly sweet. So it could be tricking your palate, having the sweeter one before this one, and so your palate's perception is going to perceive this possibly as more bitterer than normal.
I like how you combined more bitter and then that's next level right there. I'm an English teacher, by the way, by trade,
My mom was a journalism professor at Sac State.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was a journalist at Sac State. Yeah.
Nice.
That's how. We're like twins. All right. All right, so I've cleansed my palate with water, which I don't tend to do because it usually makes the beer more bitterer. But in this case, it actually helped. I like the taste off the get-go. The aftertaste kind of lingers. How are you? Do you like your aftertaste to just cut off, or do you like it to linger? Do you like it to hang around for a while? Tell stories.
Depends on the aftertaste. This one to me is a little bit not quite astringent, but there is a lingering bitterness that for some could be off-putting. It is up there. For me, it's okay. But like I said, it just depends on the stout, how it finishes, and what it finishes with, whether it's like coffee or chocolate or roast. Just depends on the stout.
And the ingredients in this are?
Malt, hops, water, yeast.
Is there any additives? Any particular additives?
I was not here when this was brewed.
Okay.
But it doesn't taste like there was. And doesn't taste like there's any lactose. I think it was pretty much just straight hops and barley. Some nice dark roasted malts.
Yeah, it was just straight hops and barley. We used a lot of adjunct malts in there as well. There's rye in there just to give it a little bit different. We have, a lot of different kind of caramel crystal malts in there, biscuit malt. We use straight black malt in there as well. A lot of different adjunct malts just to kind of give you that extra roasted flavor and give you that mouthfeel.
The feel of the mouth.
Yes,
exactly.
The feel of the mouth.
Yeah, I think the barley, when you said that, I perked up. I think that would probably explain what that is there at the end that I'm kind of like, I wonder what that is. It's a solid stout. And I would say probably good to very good. This is your go-to though, so you're like on board. You're like, this is excellent for you.
This is very good to excellent.
Yeah.
But I'm a stout guy, so.
Right. Yeah. And you, non-stout guy, or part-time stout guy?
Part-time stout guy.
Yeah.
I'd say very good on this one.
All right. Fair enough. No. Good. Excellent. Very good. Awesome. So you can't use those words because those are actually part of the grading scale, and so that just confuses people. Only two more to go, and then we're out the door. This is also been in the Bob Moffitt beer fridge for an obscenely long time. This is, it's called Lowbrow Nobility, but it's actually made by Short Throw Brewing Company, which is in Connecticut. So it kind of has, it has a bunch of stuff on the front, and then you're supposed to kind of figure out what it is. And I don't know if there's a hidden, I don't know if there's a puzzle in there. It's like a puzzle with sort of an art deco, and I don't, there are letters, but I don't know if any of it says anything. Is that maybe L-O-B-R-O? Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it's orange and brown and tan, and it's kind of got this art deco thing, and it is an imperial stout with coffee, roasted coconut, Indonesian cinnamon, and Vermont maple syrup. I like the maple syrup. 12% alcohol by volume. So this one will definitely knock your doors off. And it is dark as all dark.
It's dark.
Whoo! Yeah, I can smell the maple right off, right out of the chute. So I am almost guaranteed to thoroughly enjoy this one. But yeah, I have a big sweet tooth, sweet tooth. And it's,
yeah, big maple sweetness on the nose for sure.
Coffee, toasted coconut, Indonesian cinnamon, and Vermont maple syrup.
So on the nose, I'm not really picking up a whole lot of the cinnamon. I'm definitely getting maple. Not sure how much coffee I'm getting on the nose. Mostly on the nose, I'm getting the maple and some sweetness.
Well, what I like about it is that it comes at you in waves. There's one taste and then another and then another. I mean, you get the maple originally, but then like you wander off into some coconut and then maybe a little cinnamon. And now I'm left with something at the end, which it's like milk. It's like I just had a glass of milk.
It is very complex.
Yeah.
Yeah. The layers are definitely there, and it's very interesting how it rolls through everything. Like you said, the maple, and then into the coconut, and the roast of the coconut, and then further on down the line, the cinnamon. Yeah. This is a very interesting beer.
And 12%, which is... That's enough.
To one and done.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to start sharing at some point. Or if you're by yourself, then it has to go back in the fridge for like several days, I think.
Who am I on this podcast with?
Really? I will absolutely put beer back in the fridge and let it and just like have like a serving size off of it for like 3 or 4 days. And with stouts, you can do that.
You can do that.
It doesn't really... It kind of depends. Like, if, like, Mrs. Moffitt made broccoli manicotti, then that might affect the taste of the beer a little bit, but not much. It is just a little tiny hole on top of the can. So there's not a big place for other flavors to get in.
You should get those caps that you can put over the top of the can.
Oh, there you go.
You put the little cap on it, you push the little button, and it sucks the air out of it, so it keeps less oxygen in the can. Keep it good for a couple days for you.
There you go.
Get them on Amazon. Amazon for like $3 or something like that.
Or I can just leave it in the fridge open and just come back to it.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. I had one in my fridge, in my beer fridge. And for a couple of weeks, I'd open up the beer fridge. I'm like, man, did I spill something? I mean, I'm looking around for like stains or something exploded or whatever. Nothing. And finally, I was rooting around in there, and I found the can that I put in there after the previous episode we had recorded, and I took it home. It was still open, and I had some of it that night, and it was still excellent. It was fantastic. So that's, yeah, you're not going to do that with a Corona.
Oh, no.
God, I just kind of threw up in my mouth. No offense.
Yeah, no water for me, thank you.
All right, so I think it's back around to me to rate this bad boy, and... For complexity, for just the way it comes at you in layers, and delivering what it promises. I think it nails it. There's kind of a weirdness there at the end, and so I'm not going to give it an excellent, but I'd say very good at least. I think it's very good. Ian, what do you think?
I'm going to go excellent. Honestly, I think it hits everything that they're talking about on there. I think it's a really good complex beer that I would, as a non-stout drinker, I would 100% buy this at the store and wouldn't be disappointed in it. I think that kind of maybe the taste at the end might be just because it's a little bit old. I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt on that.
That's true. It is age. It's in its.
Because I was on the very good to the excellent stage there, and I think I'll give them the benefit of the doubt just because it's a little bit old. That I think right as it came out, that is an excellent beer.
I think I'm gonna have to go excellent as well. I think it, like Ian said, I think it hits the mark, and you're getting all the flavors that they say that the ingredients are in there, and the complexity and the wave of flavors that you go through from first sip through the end. It definitely hits the mark, and it's got a lot of flavor, a lot of complexity, and I think they did a good job.
You guys have been around the block once or twice or four times. How is it helpful to have, you guys have like pretty, seem to have pretty similar like palettes. Is it good to have similar palettes? Do you want to have a wide variety?
You know,
fewer arguments, I would imagine.
Yeah. Being in the judging world, you learn that everybody's palette is different, obviously. I've run across people that think that there's diacetyl in every beer that they drink, and there's not. So it's a matter of opinion, and the whole everybody's palate is different. Whether it's good or bad that we have similar palates, I don't know if it's good or bad. It's obviously it helps when we brew together.
Yeah.
But then again, if you have different palates, then you're going to be picking up different things that the other guy's not going to be picking up. And so you can educate each other about perceptions and tastes and what have you.
I would say it's kind of annoying that Peter and I have kind of the same palates, because we'll, like, somebody will say some flavor and I'll be like, I don't get it. Do you get it? And he's like, no. And then we'll have to go to, like, Kristen or somebody else who's working the bar and be like, taste this. What do you taste on this? Because Peter and I aren't getting it because we have very similar palates on different things, and it gets kind of annoying in a sense to where we have to go ask an outside source that's working. Be like, do you taste this? Because I don't taste any of that in mine.
So what do we think about a can art that looks like somebody may be running from a fire? Your thoughts.
The apocalypse, maybe?
Apocalypse, we're chasing darkness. the body is running. So anyway, it's a silhouette of a figure running towards us, I think. And then it appears to be I'm guessing that's a sunset in the backdrop in the pine trees. It's very artistic. It's very dramatic. I don't know that I like it particularly.
I kind of expect it to be like on a wall at a restaurant instead of on a beer can, but
I think actually because of the calves, I think the figure is running away, but that makes the hand in the wrong place, which would, so yeah, there's the, it bothers me. So my mom, I'm not a good artist, but my mom was, and so like I see this, I'm like, no, it's got to be coming towards you, otherwise the person is an amputee. So the calf and the other leg has to be behind the person and they have to be running at you, which would make the arm correct, but then you wouldn't be able to see the calves necessarily, and then the foot. Anyway, yeah, the can art is not, and I don't usually, I don't think I've ever, I like the effort. I'll just say that. I'll be nice. I like the effort. I love the effort. Love the effort. And no effort can art, kind of, I don't know. Just I like can art. I like the effort. I like when brewers work with their artistic community. And there you go. All right, it's a dark head, and then we'll figure out what's in it. Brown stuff. All right, so brewed and packaged by Timber Ales, North Haven, Connecticut. I think we already had a North. Is that the second Connecticut brewery
second
we had?
Second Connecticut, yeah.
Imperial Stout, aged on vanilla beans and... Does that say cassia bark? That was a confused look on Ian's face. Do we age things on bark?
You can, yes.
Okay.
You can kind of leave it in the tank and put kind of wood chunks, wood spiles.
Okay.
You can even put wood dust in there as well in bags.
And cassia, I'm guessing, is either a type of watch or probably a type of tree. I'm guessing tree.
I think it's Casio is a watch.
If it's aged on watches, then that would make it time to drink all the time.
All the time.
Am I right? Yes, thank you. I'll be here all week, except for when I leave, which is like very soon. All right, 12% by alcohol by volume. We've already described the man running apparently from the sunrise, which frightens him. And then there's also a little lumberjack with a hat on and a beard and a plaid shirt stirring a pot.
Is it a Dixon plaid shirt?
Dixon flannel.
There you go.
You're
well, actually, he's the Dixon flannel guy, so he would know. But that is a interesting logo, man. There.
Wow, a lot of cinnamon.
I looked up cassia bark, and it's called Chinese cinnamon. It's Chinese cassia or Chinese cinnamon. It's South and Southeast Asia, and it's a several. It's one of the several species of cinnamon. So they have aromatic bark, and it's used as a spice.
There you go.
Didn't know that.
Do we figure it's cassia or cassia?
I'm going to go cassia.
You're going to
go
cassia.
Go cassia.
I would think so. It is definitely full of cinnamon. And
you get a lot of vanilla on the nose as well.
Well, you'd have to have something to counteract the cinnamon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I first put it up to my nose, I wasn't sure what that was. But now that Ian has looked up and explained what cassia bark is.
That is a lot of cinnamon.
It is. It was almost off-putting to me when I first put it up to my nose. And probably only because I didn't know what it was.
Right.
I wasn't sure what I was smelling.
The unknown has always frightened you.
Yes, it has.
Tell us about your childhood. All right.
You don't want to go there.
I like the smell. I was expecting it to be sweeter, I think.
The smell kind of reminds me of like a nice savory candle.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds, but...
Well, it's 12%, so you could almost light this thing on fire and then like have you walk into your house with it. I like it. I think it may be too much cinnamon. It's right on the borderline, but they don't promise you cinnamon, do they? They promise you cassia bark. And then you would have to be a real beer snob in order to know what cassia bark is, and you had to look it up. So
yeah, I'd never even heard of it.
I mean, that's next level beer snobbery, or your cinnamon knowledge has to be like 12.
I think it's more cinnamon knowledge because I know a lot of beer snobs and I don't think they would know what cassia bark is. I agree with you. It's a little much for my taste bud. But the mouthfeel.
Stop it. I really like the taste. I like the taste. I'm guessing since they went with cassia bark, they knew what they were doing, and I'm guessing they nailed it. And it's just a little. And the question is, how many days would it take me to drink this? And the answer would be several.
Definitely.
So.
Yeah. It definitely isn't a beer that you crack open sitting on the couch and you finish the whole the whole can by yourself.
Well, the last three, hopefully you wouldn't, and if you did, then you would be off to night-night really quickly. So
depends how well you want to sleep that night.
Yeah, well, true. But it's, yeah, this would be a great one to share, I think, and just talk about your knowledge of cassia bark.
Yeah.
Or how much cinnamon and sugar do you put on cinnamon toast?
Mmm. Yeah. Cinnamon toast.
Yeah, see? Hold on. Yeah. See? We're already there.
So I think this beer would be perfect to share after dinner, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Yeah.
Kind of split it up with your family and sit and sip. It's just definitely a sipper.
Definitely a sipper, yeah.
Yeah, dessert. Is it into dessert territory?
I think so, only because of the spices.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pumpkin pie with this is a... So what's the date on the bottom of the can?
Oh, like I can read that.
All right.
Perfect. I don't have my glasses on.
July 28th, 20. So, yeah, coming heading into fall. Yeah.
I would say this would be really nice over a scoop of French vanilla ice cream. I think it would go really nicely.
I think so.
You can make like a stout float with it.
Yeah,
with, put some ice cream in it and it'd be...
Yeah.
I'd 100% drink that and eat that.
Yeah.
Or perhaps some sort of French toast dessert thing.
Mm. Yeah.
I try not to recommend people drinking beer at 8 o'clock in the morning because it seems to probably not be the healthiest thing to do. But in your profession, it's probably pretty much the norm. You're looking at me like, why wouldn't you?
Exactly, yeah.
Can't remember the last time I had a beer in the morning.
I've got to ask, is the squeaking noise me? You should see. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there we go. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, okay. Well, whoever it was, we apologize because I was picking up on that earlier and I forgot to do anything about it. So yeah, if that's been annoying you, and then all I can say is I'm sorry. All right, what do we? That's the end of the flight. This is a really good flight, especially considering how long these have been in the Moffitt beer fridge. We usually go around and say, okay, what was your favorite? I think the initial offering was really good. And then I think, was it this one? The Lowbrow Nobility? That, I think between the two, I think those two were probably my favorite. What do you think?
I am biased, and obviously I think the Not That Innocent, being that that's my go-to here, I like that. I do like this other one that you just mentioned, this one.
The Short Throw Lowbrow.
Yeah, that was good. I do like, is this the one with the lowbrow? Is that the one with the maple syrup?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be my other one, just because of the complexity and the layers of flavor that you went through as you were tasting it.
Yeah, and then I don't know, if we had, was there another one? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, yeah, that was it. The Golden Dreams actually was really good, was surprisingly good. And then the perennial, the Imperial Stout with the black, dark matter coffee. That was really good. That was really good too. This is a good grouping.
It was a good grouping. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to thank the top shelf of my beer fridge.
Thank you, top shelf of Bob's Beer Fridge.
Next time I see it, I'll give it your regards. And you?
I'm gonna go with the Lowbrow.
Yeah.
I think this beer was really good, and I'm gonna try and go out and find a can of it.
Considering how long ago it was purchased, good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to, but it's definitely worth a try. It was a great beer. I'm gonna go with that, honestly.
Yeah. In our contract that we signed, was there not a express prohibition against Giants hats?
You know, as a personal A's fan,
yeah,
I don't really like his Giants hat that much, but
yeah, I thought that was wasn't that in the contract? Yeah. Wasn't that in the contract we signed? I think there was. I'm not sure, but
I'm not a hat guy, so
there you go.
Any hat is really not up to my standard.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, I'll stop squeaking. Yeah. All right. Note to self: next time leather chairs are involved, bring bring like serapes or something. So, all right. I think that brings us to the end of our episode, at just a shade over an hour, which after we edit it down will somewhere be around 55 minutes. Believe it or not, yeah, or 50. Usually about 10% of it goes out the window, and about 95% of that is me.
All
right. Okay.
So,
but you've been doing this for a while, so.
I've been doing this for a while. For Peter Wisham and Ian Churchill and, of course, Kristen Madigan, who put this whole thing together and has suffered through me appearing not once but twice here. Thank you for having us. And the metaphorical us being me and all my stuff. And thank you for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time, awesome. If you're listening on your favorite place to find podcast, we're available everywhere. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Podcastify. We're on Google Play. Anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find us there. If you listen to a podcast somewhere else and you can't find us there, then please email me at the Contact Us tab on the website. If you're on one of those services, then please remember that we have a website. There is a beer list with all of the beers that we have tried. You click on the beer, it takes you to the page, you can see what we rated it. Each one of the podcast episodes is on the website as well. And then there is a cheat sheet for each one of the podcast episodes where you can look at each one of the beers and you can see what it was rated by each one of the guests and hosts. And then you can kind of make your own determination next time you go to the store, which one of these that you're going to buy or try. We recommend heartily that you try all of them because brewers are people and they are awesome people and they're creating wonderful things. And as we come out of a weird economic time, they need all the help they can get. So make sure to support your local brewer. My name is Bob Moffitt. For all these fine folks here, thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next time on the Stoutcast at stoutcast.com.